Guys, this is your girl, Dr. C, a.k.a. the entrepreneurial Harriet Tubman. Yes, I'm sticking to it. That's what I'm going to go unless someone tells me otherwise or is corny or whatever. Anyway, and this is the best podcast in the galaxy. Forgive that form D. This is the best podcast in the galaxy, guys. What we're doing here is we are challenging you to step outside that box of the 9-to-5, just getting the paycheck, living from paycheck to paycheck, rise above the average person, get the money that you want, get the lifestyle that you want, and just challenge you. Come on now, we're so close to 2020. You need that. You need that motivation. You need someone to say, you can do it. Go for it. Go for that idea. Don't hold back. Step into it. Step into it. You need that. So this is what this podcast is all about. Forgive the Form D, because we know that people who we have been trained in the college world to go rule by rule, policy by policy, standard by standard, to follow the course syllabus and not think, not create, not form your own opinion, but take the opinion of someone else or take the research of someone else and not really think, not really use your own brain cells, guys. So that's what we're doing here in this podcast. First and foremost, I just want to thank you all for just listening to me. You're taking the time out to just hear what I have to say, and I really appreciate that. I don't take that lightly, that I have your attention. And I'm going to use that to make sure I add value to you, that I'm bringing you the most current research, the most current people who can talk to you about different, just different side hustle, different ways to make money while you're working at 9-to-5, while you're grinding, while you're working for the man, just ways to build that income so that you one day can have the lifestyle and the freedom that you deserve, that God wants you to have. Guest calling number is 343-855-8692. If you want to come in, if you want to chime in, have any questions, comments, or just, you know, you just want to say what's up. Anyway, first and foremost, I just want to ask you a question. What are you grateful for? I know we just had Thanksgiving, and you probably said so many gratefuls. And I mean, how did you feel when you were saying your Thanksgiving gratefuls? And I'm so thankful. Some people, you know, probably weren't sitting around a table saying, oh, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that. Some people were just, you know, on a respirator in the hospital. Or they have no clue about Thanksgiving because they're over in Africa and they don't get enough to eat over there to even talk about cutting a turkey and things of that. But you guys, you had, I know somebody had a turkey. I know who's ever listened to me. You had some turkey or some dressing, some pumpkin pie. You know, you done gained about 5 pounds. you know what I'm saying, eating Murray's German chocolate cake, and you know what I'm saying, you tore that up by yourself in the corner while everybody else was talking. You was throwing down, and I know I was, so I'm ready for those New Year's resolutions. But, yeah, so what are you grateful for? I can tell you right now, one thing that you can be grateful for is that you woke up this morning, right? You woke up healthy in your right mind, right? So, you know, I've been listening to this one guy. He is a billionaire, and his new book just came out, and his name is, I got it right here because I'm listening to him. Tillman Fertitta. His new book is Shut Up and Listen, Hard Business Truths. This guy owns so much. I don't know if anybody knows about Landry's Restaurant, but it has quality service. He owns it. I'm actually in Gulfport, Mississippi, and he had a Landry's down here, but after Hurricane Katrina closed down or whatever, he owns the Golden Nugget. He owns this, that, and the other. And what he pointed out, he didn't talk about, you know, this isn't religious things, but I'm just talking about, let's get inside that billionaire's mind. He is a billionaire, guys. He has made it. You know, he's that guy in the gym. You know how we come in there, you know, we got a lot to work on, or, you know, we're trying to maintain, but that guy in the gym come in like Arnold Schwarzenegger. This guy is an Arnold Schwarzenegger of entrepreneurship. And he said that a lot of us seem to always, you know, get caught up in the situation. Like, if we're in a bad situation, we're just like, oh, I'm never going to get out of this. I can never. But he's like, that's not right. That's not right. Don't allow your brain to think that. He said in his book, he was like, if there's bad days, there's going to be good days again. And we tend to forget that when we're in a bad time, that there's going to be good days again. There always has. You're always going to have a great day, a great year, a great week. So don't get weak in the moment. Don't get weak in thinking, oh, man, this is so terrible. I have to go drink. I have to go and do drugs. I have to go and cheat on my wife or cheat on my husband or cheat on my girlfriend or boyfriend. Like, you don't have to do that. It's going to be good again, guys. If you just hold strong, you know what I'm saying, and just keep going, it's going to be good. You will get there. You will succeed. I guarantee that. Trouble doesn't last always. You know, that's what they say. Trouble doesn't last always, you know, but it's true. And so this billionaire is even connecting with you on that level. And it's true. It's just us. We get so fearful and caught up in our situations that we just totally break down and, you know, oh, my God, you know. And don't get there. Don't do that, because that's going to lead you into wanting to commit suicide. So many people who thought they would never commit suicide have killed themselves because they get so caught up in the situation and everything is attacking them all at once. And they forget that there was a time in their life, no matter if it was the year before, where it was good, you know. Don't get so caught up into that. I got a caller coming in. Let me check up on that. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
What's going on? Joe's
what's going on, queen?
Thanksgiving, man. Hey, I'm living my best life.
Nothing wrong with that. You should be. You earned it.
You too. How was your Thanksgiving?
Well, actually, Thanksgiving, I didn't do anything. But Friday, we drove up to Detroit to hang out with my mom for a couple of hours. My mom and my stepfather and my daughter and her boyfriend and the baby came over. So it was really nice.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought, though.
How was yours?
So, yeah, I was just relaxing. Ate too much, pretty much. Actually, you know what? We went to the casino, and it wasn't for any, you know, gambling or whatnot. But my family, we all just went to the casino because no one cooked. And no one decided to cook or anything. We were just like, we're just going to go out, you know. Everything was just I guess my family went out of town, so when they came back, we were just like, we're just going to cook. I didn't know what was going on. So we just went to the casino and chilled out, you know what I'm saying? Big buffet. I'm surprised at how many people were there. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people who didn't cook today.
Well, you know what? It's a lot of people that's off work, and, you know, they like, let me go try my luck.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Let me make sure my 2020 started off pretty good with some deep pockets.
Which is, it's a really
that's
horrible
true.
Time. Like, I used to go to the casino a lot. The holidays
really?
Are absolutely the, oh, yeah. I love the gamble. But the
how
holidays
much, how much,
are
what's
the worst
most
time
you won?
A couple grand.
Okay. And
but
you
I
said
the
holidays
slot.
Are...
I play blackjack.
Oh, blackjack. Oh, I saw the blackjack table. Dude, how about they're replacing the blackjack table with computers? Have you seen that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have.
You don't like it?
No. No, not at all. And, like, for the old school, like, players... That is, like, the dealer is part of the game.
The dealer is part of the game. Explain that one. I thought they were just handing out the cards. That was it. You're saying they're actually...
They are not. Like, the less stressed you are, the more successful you will be in gambling, anything. The dealers, a good dealer keeps the table... lighthearted, even when you're losing. They make you laugh. They make you forget about it. And you can kind of just not worry about, you know, okay, well, I got my $10 left. You just, okay, I got 10 bucks left. Oh, well. But that makes a big a difference. You know, when you're stressed.
Yeah,
like
custom.
You.
What?
Yeah.
So you're pretty much saying that the casinos, by replacing, you know, these, I guess, boards with artificial intelligence, they're losing out on good customer service.
Well,
that's not
yes
what good
no.
customer
because,
service right there.
Well, most older people play the slots, so they don't care. This generation is probably not. You know, like, I don't think it'll be that much to them. It'll be pretty much like my generation. You know, not 60 just yet, but you'll be there in about 10 years. You know. and so we kind of grew up playing cards. And a dealer makes a big, you know, it makes a difference. So you really won't know. They may have a dip, but they've been kind of going away from the tables anyway. Like, there's some casinos you can walk into now that have no tables at all.
Really?
Everything's computerized. Yeah.
That's the way that's why I started this podcast, because I'm trying to get people to realize that you could be, if your job can be in a description, it pretty much can be computered or softwared into where it could be replaced by a machine. That's how I feel about it. Like, if I can write your job description out, just as are they looking at how can we get the droid to replace that, so we don't have to pay you any more money. So that's how
I mean,
feel
like
about
this,
it. So I'm trying to, like,
this country
come
is
on
so
with
stupid
it.
Because that's not a long-term prognosis for a healthy, viable community, let alone a country. Because people still got to make money. People still got to eat. So now you got computers doing everything. I mean, hell.
Right.
Like, I don't even like going to the fast food joints now, because why should I pay the same fucking, excuse my language, but why should I say pay the same fucking price for that hamburger, that Happy Meal, but now I got to go get my own pop. I got to go get my own condiment. I got to do all of that. Well, shouldn't the shit be cheaper? You're hiring less people. They're doing, you know, it's less work. Same food. But now I'm part of the employees at McDonald's when I want to buy something.
Right. And you're so frustrated by it. You're like, man, if I got to, you know, you snatch your food from them and stuff. Man, I got to go get this myself. They give me my food, you know.
Man, my God, I hate that. And it's just like, it used to be teenagers working at McDonald's. Now it's senior citizens because they can't afford to live.
I know. That breaks my heart, though, man. See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, we gotta do better right now while we have the opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
I'm 70 years old, and I can't make it month to month. I'm robbing somebody. Take my old ass to the bank, and I'm sticking y'all up.
I believe you. That's why I'm scared. I'm afraid. I don't want that to happen. I'm going to have to slip you some money.
I'll be sliding some money.
Like, please keep this dude out of jail.
Hey, you know what? I'm 70. I get in front of the judge, and I start crying and say, well, I couldn't afford to eat.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, by the time you get 70, it's going to be so many 7 years the judge would have probably seen with that excuse. She probably like, you know what? I'm just going to put that geriatric law on you. 5 to 10.
Okay. At least I can eat.
You got that geriatric law now.
Hey, I get 3 hots in a cot.
Yeah, man. But what we were talking about, like, what were some of the things that you were, did y'all do, like, the, oh, I'm so grateful, this is what I'm grateful for, or because you, though, y'all didn't really spend time on Thanksgiving, y'all kind of bypassed that. Did y'all, like, sit around and share what you were grateful for and thankful for and stuff like that? Do y'all do that?
No. It has absolutely nothing to do with the name of the day. It's a day we got off. We'll drink or whatever your vice is, eat some good food, and tell some jokes, and that'd be the extent of it.
Yeah, we kind of bypassed that too, man. How are you going to be, like, all, you know, emotional at the casino? Like, oh, I'm just so grateful for it. I won. You can't really do that, so
We normally do.
Well, I mean, hey, some people, you know, that's cool too. Everybody ain't the same. That's good.
I mean, most of us, it has nothing to do with Thanksgiving per se. Not like you got pictures of turkeys hanging up or you celebrating the Native Americans and none of that. You know, like I say, it's a day off.
Yeah. And you really should be thankful all the time, not just one time of the year. I mean, like T.I. says, you should be thankful for what you got instead of always worrying about what you don't got.
Yeah, that's some shit rich people.
Do you remember? I wonder why. Why is that related to the rich?
Because they can afford to go get what they want.
There's a reason rich people are talking about gratitude and being grateful. There's correlation there.
If you were poor, at some point you were envious of what someone else had. And generally speaking, the poor people that make it to become rich make it because they want what the rich people have. And they just dedicate themselves and their energy to accomplishing that.
Give me an example. Like, who do you know who was like, I want what they have? Like, do you know of anybody who's like, oh, yeah, I was always envious of what they had, so I just dedicated myself to being rich. Like, do you know of anybody like that?
T.I. Yellhead.
Famous. You said T.I.
He sold dope. Yes, he sold dope. You think he sold dope to feed the homeless? No, he sold dope to buy chains and cars.
Or can take care of his family, too. Yeah.
That is, you know what, that is so disingenuous that people say that. Because most people that I've come across over the years that sold dope, A, didn't sell enough dope to sell to take care of anybody, couldn't barely take care of themselves, or they sold a ton of dope past the point of taking care of their family. That's
yeah.
just a justification that people use to just do dumb shit.
Yeah.
I sold dope when I was a kid. And had nothing to do with taking care of my family.
Were you just trying to see what it was like?
I was just gritty. And I liked the lifestyle.
You were good.
Yes. I was greedy and lazy, and I liked the lifestyle. Beauty.
So, what made you stop? Did you not? Were you not able to, you know, get that lifestyle going, or you just like, I'm gonna do something else?
First of all, I was not good at it. I was not, you know, because I was afraid to go to jail. And if you are afraid to go to jail, that is not the gig for you. Secondly, the first one is I wanted to see my daughters graduate high school, go to college, have kids. You know, I wanted to walk my daughters down the aisle. And a couple of my boys got shot. And one got murdered. And when he got killed, although he was supposed to get killed, to be quite honest. What he had done was, as far as the street goes, was a killable offense.
Wow.
But that's not what I wanted for me. So, literally, just one day, I packed up a garbage bag and got on the Greyhound and came to Cleveland.
You say you got on the Greyhound, and that's how you got to where you are right now?
That is exactly how I got to Cleveland.
Wow.
I still regret that. I left all my clothes, all my shoes. I regret leaving that, but I don't regret leaving.
Right. You can always buy new shoes and clothes. You're like, I got to get up out of here.
Yeah, and I knew that if I didn't do it then, I may not do it, and I was going to end up either like my boy or in prison, neither of which was conducive to being a good father.
I had a similar situation. I had a similar situation that happened to me where I had to just get up and go. I was actually dating a drug dealer, and with his lifestyle and the influence that he had on me, I was young. It was way before, you know, I had gotten married and everything. And I was like, this guy can influence me to do anything. Like, that's how dumb. I knew I was dumb. I was like, I'm dumb enough that he could just kind of come and do anything. And so in the middle of the night, I get up. Get all my stuff in the car and I'm gone. Like, he was trying to call me the next day. You know, I delete, changed my number and everything because I knew it was like either I'm going to stay here and go downhill or I got to get up and go and be, you know, I just graduated with my biology degree and everything. So I didn't want to, like, all that my parents put into me, all that, you know, my church supported me with, and, you know, gave me scholarships and helped me get through, you know, each year. I didn't want that all to go down the drain for a guy who didn't really care about his future. You
did
know,
he care about you?
And I want to say, I don't think so. I think he was good. He knew he could manipulate me very well. He was very witty, and he thought on his. Pretty much, I was saying for his lifestyle. I mean, he was selling. You know, he had just gotten out. Like he had just gotten out after 3 years. He got caught. I think marijuana or something in Texas, and he had just gotten out. And so I was a Hurricane Katrina evacuee, and I had moved from Mississippi to Tennessee. I was in Memphis. And so I had to get my FEMA check, and you know, all that support was coming my way. And so he came, he got out, he didn't have anything. And so we started dating and talking or whatever. And so I would just, you know, whatever he needed, I had enough money that I was able to, you know, buy him clothes and all this other stuff. So he took advantage of that, you know, and I was just looking for love, you know, just 21-year-old. I just need to be, you know, because I was going through, like, the Great Depression, you know what I'm saying? I just lost my house and, you know, my stability, and I was an evacuee. And so I just got in, you know, a relationship with him. Had also just broken up with a previous relationship, too, so he was kind of like my rebound guy. So I was very vulnerable, and I knew inside of me I had better, you know. So I had to get out of that situation. Just like you had to run out of that you knew that lifestyle wasn't for you, and you had better, you know, your daughter and everything. I knew I had better. I had a greater future ahead without being connected with drugs and stuff like that. So I too had to get up and get up and go. Sometimes you gotta do that. Sometimes you just gotta drop everything and say, you know what? It's either now or never. It's either ride or die, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think the saddest thing that I ran across is I know a guy that literally had $1 million.
He had $1 million.
Had $1 million selling dope. Spent it.
Wow. He was very successful at it. What happened?
He also had a really bad gambling problem.
Oh, that'll get you every time.
Yeah. You know, now, when you're making that type of bread, like going to the to the after hours and losing 100 thou ain't shit to you. But he got out of the game and neglected to stop his in the game habits.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's telling me the story, you know, like. You know, I sat up one night and counted $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a blanket. Like, you could, like, if you spread out $1 million on your bed, it could, like, be a thick blanket, I'm sure. I don't know, but.
I mean, that depends on how.
I watched Breaking Bad.
I mean, if you had $1 million, probably fill up a whole room. Like $1 million and hundreds would definitely be a nice blanket.
Yeah.
For a king size.
Man, I don't know, because I was watching Breaking Bad, like I was binging on it over the holidays, and he had like $80 million in this small little, I guess, metal room, like a storage room, and that was $80 million.
Yeah, but they got, like, I think they've got, like, a $5,000 bill. It just kind of depends on where you at and who you got laundering your money. And like, I'm pretty sure it can be an extreme headache to, you know, because I've seen guys, you know, they got a $100,000 car in their mama name. Mama ain't worked in 20 years on a fixed income. And somehow, in her name, she got the latest Bentley. You know, which I've always thought was extremely just stupid on their part and selfish. They just don't.
Yeah.
Well, once you got that in somebody else's name, if they hit you with a RICO, which is basically a fancy way of saying, well, we can't really catch you, but we know you hang around enough people to sell dope, we're going to call you the leader. You know, and that's how they get a lot of brush. Mm-hmm. Too. It's not necessarily that they caught you. They can just convince a jury that you sell dope because of the lifestyle you lead and the people you're around.
Wow. Well, you're filling me in on some stuff.
Not bad. It's like,
I'm starting to understand.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that. Now I'm starting to understand Breaking Bad a little bit more. Get some more insight on what was going on, the real situation. But,
hell, that's how they caught Al Capone. Ain't had nothing to do with him selling liquor or anything. Caught him on his taxes.
Dang. The IR to the S.
Yep. You know, they've caught a lot of people. Like, the crazy part is you could actually pay taxes on selling dope. I don't know exactly how you can. And you pretty much setting yourself up for failure to get caught. But you actually probably can pay taxes on that. I'm no expert.
I'm pretty sure
there's a way they can.
I thought what is money laundering then? I thought that was the way you can kind of hide your dope money and all that stuff. It's like to start a business and kind of make it seem like the business is paying you the money.
I mean, and you can. The problem with that is that if they catch you, they take the business if it's in your name. Or if they can prove, or even if they can make the jury believe that that business was a direct result of your drug money, they take it. You know, the biggest mistake that dudes out here that's really making some money, and first and foremost, like, if you are contemplating selling dope, don't. Because, and I'm not saying it for no altruistic reasons or I want to keep you out of prison, although I do, but just from a sheer number standpoint, the odds of you actually making any serious money are extremely slim. I'd probably say 80 to 90% of the people that sell dope are broke. There's dudes out there right now standing on the block with some rocks or whatever in their pocket and could be making more money literally working at McDonald's.
I feel like that's a type of entrepreneurship, you know, selling dope. I feel like they could probably use that energy to go and be an affiliate marketer maybe or sell on Amazon. You know, they have different types of ways you could sell 5-10 items on eBay and make like a killing, you know. If they just learn how by the way, I wanted to share that Udemy is an online course, like an online platform where you can learn different courses and stuff like that, but you don't pay like college prices. It's real cheap. Right now they have a sale of all their courses are $10 each. They're normally $200. So I racked up on it. I got about $100 worth of courses. You know, because I'm trying to do my thing. Like, I'm learning SEO, you know, for the biz, My Skin Is My Sand podcast, because I know you don't need that for your website you're going to have me do.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Yes, I do need that.
So you laughing now, but when you're ranking on Google, you're going to be like, you know what, I'm so glad you got that $10 course off Udemy.com.
Oh, I'm not laughing at that at all.
No, no, no. I encourage that. And
yeah.
I just that, you know,
yeah.
if it interests you, it only costs $10, do that shit.
Right.
Hell.
I mean, let's get it. Let's go.
Yeah. Shit, actually, send me that link. I need that SEO stuff.
You hear me?
And actually,
that's what's up. They got everything. Like, you can learn about art, copyright, and any kind of course you can think of. Just ridiculous stuff. It's wonderful, I think. And so the sale ends, I think, on Wednesday is the last day, and everything goes back to regular prices. But I think that's our time now. The time is still going on. I don't know what's going on with that, but anyway. So
occasionally it'll let you go over, and it will just literally just cut you off when they decide that's enough.
Yeah, well, I see the time. The time was 62. It looks like 60 seconds.
All right, Queen.
Like yeah,
well, I enjoyed our conversation as usual.
Yeah, I really appreciated you calling in and giving me some more information about that lifestyle.
I'm glad I can help.
But yeah, man, I'm gonna send you the Udemy, get you on point. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get this SEO together, get that social media skill level up to 10. Oh yeah, did I tell you I got my job back at the Houston Medical Center too? They called me, and it was just like.
Good.
Right, two people quit, so they were like, we need you stat. I'm like, bet. So I started on the 8th of January. So,
well, congratulations.
It's looking pretty good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very much.
All right, Quay, I got to pack it up and get in the house and get my evening started for tomorrow.
All right. Well, y'all have a good week.
For yourself.
See you same time next week.
All right, peace.
All right, peace.